Hey there, wild one. Welcome back. October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. This episode is deeply personal. It's about miscarriage, loss, hope, and the bittersweet journey of motherhood. So if you're new here, I'm glad you found your way. If someone sent you this episode, they care about you, and they probably see something in you that needs to hear this conversation. So I hope you'll stick around. And if you've been listening to me for a while, thank you. You're the reason this space exists. Your presence, your stories, and your courage for showing up. This community was built for moments like this. The tender ones. The real ones. This episode took me a lot longer to write and record than I expected. Maybe it's because I'm still grieving my aunt and uncle, and grief is feeling especially tender still, right now. Maybe it's because even after all of these years, miscarriage is still sitting quietly on my heart. Back in 2015, I wrote a blog called Lessons Learned from Loss after my very first miscarriage. It was raw and honest, and it connected me with so many other women that were walking through that same heartbreak. So now, nearly a decade later, after I've had 5 total pregnancies, 2 losses, and 3 living children, I've been revisiting that story. And I realize I have more perspective. So this episode isn't just a retelling, it's a reflection to share lessons about grief, grace, and trusting your own body. If this topic is tender for you, take care of your heart as you listen. You are not alone. Whether you've walked through loss yourself or are supporting someone who has, this could be raw and real for you or incredibly healing, depending on where you are on your journey. Feel free to share this with either someone walking this road with you, or if it is you, share it with a family member or a friend who maybe needs to hear this perspective. Reclaim your rhythm. Rethink the rules. Rewrite your life. This is Wildly Intentional, the show where we question the scripts we've inherited and build a life, family, and legacy on purpose. If you're done living on autopilot, come with a curious mind and a courageous heart. Here, we talk about what it means to question, unlearn, create, and build what truly matters. I'm your host, Mandy, maverick mom of 3, maker, family culture builder, lifelong question asker, and the friend people call when they're ready to rethink, well, everything. I'm here to shake the norms, tell the truth, and light the way forward. July of 2015 was the first time in my life that I got a positive pregnancy test. My husband Tom and I were so excited. We cried, we laughed, we told our closest friends and family. We went into that first ultrasound on cloud 9. A couple of weeks later, we were certain everything was okay. And then, in just minutes, our whole world shifted. It didn't take us long to figure out something was wrong. Our hearts sank. There was no heartbeat. This can't be happening. We came back a week later, and she confirmed that we had miscarried. The news felt so heavy in the room. We left overwhelmed and scared. I remember sitting there with a blank stare trying to process, how is this possible? What did I do wrong? I blamed myself. I thought about the CrossFit classes that I was doing at the time. I had helped a friend move that weekend. Maybe I drank too much coffee. All these should-haves and shouldn't-haves played like a loop in my mind, and the guilt began to take over me. I felt a profound sense of emptiness. And what's strange is I never felt that baby move. I never actually got to see it on the screen. But the grief I felt was so deep. I was devastated. I wanted to crawl into a hole, and I didn't want to talk to anyone. And simultaneously, it felt like everyone around me was announcing pregnancies. And I just stayed in bed crying and searching Netflix for movies about miscarriage. I was trying to find someone who understood. It felt like everyone was announcing they were pregnant and people were popping up babies with no problem. I just felt this, what is wrong with me? Why do movies make this seem so easy? When we lost that first baby, we both hurt. And we showed it in totally different ways. I cried. I journaled. I prayed. I started to talk about it all the time. For this episode, I thought about bringing Tom into the conversation, but instead of doing an interview, I'll just share a bit about what I've learned about grief between partners. Tom went quiet. He went into fix-it mode. He wanted to be strong for me, to hold it together, to make everything okay. But it wasn't okay. And for a while, it felt like we were grieving on opposite sides of a wall. I kept thinking, why isn't he crying? Isn't he upset about this? He was probably wondering, why can't I make her feel better? And what I've learned is neither of us grieved wrong. We were just doing the best we could with the tools that we had. That first loss really changed us as a couple, and me specifically. It changed how I saw pregnancy, faith, my own body. I didn't know it then, but it wasn't the only time that I was going to walk that road. For anyone listening, I want to share this because miscarriage doesn't just happen to one person. It happens to both partners. So while you might process grief differently, it's okay. Grief isn't a competition. It's companionship. The best gift you can give each other is permission. Permission to grieve differently, to heal at your own pace, and to not have all the words right away. I want to thank Tom. Thank you for walking beside me through the silence, for holding me when I didn't want to be held, for giving me space when I needed it, and for never rushing me to move on, for still believing in us, even when I didn't know if I could try again. I know that it was hard for you too, even if I didn't always show it. You carried our loss differently, but we carried it together. Beyond the emotional pain, there was the medical side of it. This is a part no one really prepares you for. I was told there was no heartbeat. I was told it wasn't viable. I was told my body hadn't processed the loss yet. I remember feeling confused, vulnerable, rushed to decide how I want to handle it and when to schedule it for. So I ended up having a DNC. And at the time, I thought, I guess this is just what you do. But looking back, I wish I had known to pause, to breathe, to ask for a second ultrasound, to trust my body a little more. There's a new phenomenon happening right now where many women are being told they have an empty sac and they're encouraged to take pills to abort. And some of these women, many in fact, are choosing not to do that and are going on to carry perfectly healthy babies to term. I am not here to give you medical advice, but I do want to say, your intuition matters. Your body matters. You are allowed to ask questions. You are allowed to wait. And you are allowed to trust yourself. I wish someone had told me that then. My second miscarriage came after my daughter. And in some ways it was harder because I knew what was happening. I already had been through it once. I knew the signs, the ache, the silence. but I still didn't really question what I was told. But it never quite sat right. Maybe it was denial on my part. Maybe it was intuition. I'll never know for sure. But this time, I also knew to slow down, to let myself feel everything, and to not rush back into normal. The first time, I blamed myself. The second time, I gave myself grace. I let myself grieve. I let myself ask questions. I leaned into faith, into a community. And when we finally did welcome another healthy baby after that loss, it came with so much gratitude and a quiet awareness that not everyone gets that ending. So if you're listening and you've experienced more than one loss, I see you. It doesn't get easier, but it does get different. You learn to live with it, to honor it, to hold space for it, and to keep going. Out of those losses, though, came some lessons that I still hold close today. The first lesson is to give people grace, even when they don't know what to say. One of the biggest things that I learned after my miscarriages was that most people genuinely don't know what to say. And that's okay. It's a hard subject. They mean well, but often the words that come out can sting. When I told people about our loss, I heard things like, "Something must have been wrong with the baby." Or, "At least you know you can get pregnant." Or, "Yeah, just wasn't meant to be." I know those words were meant to comfort me, but in the moment, all I really needed was a hug. Honestly, silence would have been a better response. Their presence would have been enough. But now, having been on both sides, both grieving and later trying to comfort others through their grief, I see and know that most people are simply trying. They want to help. They want to ease your pain. They just don't know how. So what I've learned is, if you're grieving, give people grace. They may stumble through their words, but their heart is usually in the right place. And if you're supporting someone who's grieving, keep it simple. Don't rush to fix it or try to explain it away. Avoid "at least" statements. They really minimize what someone's feeling and experiencing. And please, don't ask couples when they're going to have kids. You never know what someone is walking through. Infertility, loss, or the quiet exhaustion of trying again and again. You may be excited for them, but sometimes love means just seeing people where they are, not where you wish they were. Lesson 2. You're not alone. Miscarriage is far more common than most people realize, especially with first pregnancies. Yet it's something that so few of us talk about openly. When I first experienced it, I was shocked to learn just how many others had gone through the same kind of loss. Every story I heard helped me feel a little less alone, a little more seen, and a little more normal. And it really made me wonder, why is this such a taboo subject? When something so painful is touching so many lives, why do we stay silent instead of helping each other through it? Here's an unfortunate truth that I learned. More than 1 million miscarriages occur in the United States each year. Yet few are ever publicly acknowledged. So if you've experienced miscarriage, infertility, or pregnancy complications, please hear this. You are not alone. And it's not your fault. You are not broken. You're part of a much bigger story that just doesn't get told often enough. Sharing our stories brings light to the darkness. It creates connection, comfort, and community where shame and silence used to live. So reach out for support, speak up, and know that you don't have to carry your pain alone. The third lesson is to find a way to remember. When you lose a baby, it can feel like there's no right way to grieve or to honor the tiny life that meant so much. For me, finding a small, tangible way to acknowledge that baby was incredibly healing. I decided to get a birthstone ring. I'd always wanted to wear one for each of my children, so I chose one for the babies that we lost. The months that they were both due and the months that we had to say goodbye. Wearing those rings every day gave me comfort, and it was a quiet reminder that this little life mattered. Now, almost a decade and 3 healthy children later, I don't wear those rings anymore, but I remember those babies in new ways. We talk as a family about them, not in a heavy or sad way, but as a part of our story, a part of what makes us who we are. Our kids know about their siblings in heaven. It's shaped them in beautiful ways. It's given them empathy, gratitude, and a deeper understanding of life and love. Talking openly about loss has become one of the ways that we honor those babies, by letting their memory grow into kindness and compassion in our living children. However you choose to remember, whether it's a piece of jewelry, a tree that you plant in their honor, a letter that you write to them, or simply naming them and speaking that aloud, it matters. Your way of remembering keeps their light alive in the world. Lesson 4, grief has its own timeline. Grief doesn't follow a schedule. Doctors may give you medical timelines, but your heart may need more time. And that's okay. After our loss, I waited longer than recommended before trying again. Our doctor said it was safe after 1 month, but everything I read said to wait 1 to 3 months, so I decided to give myself the full 3. That was what felt right for me. As much as I wanted to be pregnant again, I also wanted to give my body and my heart time to heal. I wanted our next pregnancy to have the best chance possible, and I wanted to feel emotionally ready to experience that hope again. So just remember, grief is deeply personal. There's no right or wrong timeline. You don't have to rush intimacy, emotional or physical. Rebuilding connection takes time, gentleness, and trust. Honor your own pace, not anyone else's expectations. Lesson 5 is about gratitude, faith, and growth. Faith helped me find my footing again. One day, in the thick of anger and confusion, I opened a devotional I was reading at the time and I read, "Accept each day exactly as it comes to you." By that, I mean not only the circumstances of your day, but also the condition of your body. Those words stopped me in my tracks. They became an anchor that I didn't know I was searching for. I remember closing the book with tears rolling down my face, thinking, "Okay, God, I hear you." That message, to accept the day as it is, not as I wish it to be, helped me shift from questioning why to asking, what now? It softened my anger, not overnight, but slowly, gently, and only the way that time and faith can. So I leaned into prayer. I leaned on friends who had walked this road before me. I had coffee with women who cried with me. They didn't try to fix anything. They just sat beside me in the quiet. I journaled. I prayed. and I learned to let both hope and heartbreak live side by side. It looked different every day. Some days, I whispered a prayer through tears. Other days, I was laughing after weeks of sadness. And I've come to realize that faith and spirituality don't just look one way. For me at the time, it was God. For someone else, it could be meditation, nature, or simply believing in the resilience of your human heart. So whatever gives you peace, lean on that. I also took bereavement from work to process the losses. It gave me some time to cry, time to rest, time to simply exist without pretending that I was, quote, fine. That space allowed me to slowly start piecing together what healing could look like. There's no universal piece of advice for going through something like this, but if I had to offer advice, it would be give yourself permission to grieve how you need for as long as you need, because there's no right pace. There's only your pace. And if you've never experienced loss, but you love someone who has, the best thing you can offer isn't a perfect phrase. It's just your presence. You could say something like, I'm so sorry. I wish there were words. Just know I'm here. And then just let them talk or sit in silence without trying to fix them or make it better. And as a couple, I'll share a couple things we did that helped us reconnect and begin to heal together. We would set aside quiet nights to just check in with no pressure to fix, but just to listen to how we were doing. If speaking to each other is too hard, you could try to write a letter about how you're feeling. Go for a walk, hold hands, share a meal. Small gestures to rebuild trust and closeness in ways that words can't. Grief will test your relationship, but it can also strengthen it if you let it. Loss strips away the noise and reminds you what truly matters: presence, patience, and a love that endures even through silence. Now, looking back after 5 pregnancies, 2 losses, and 3 living children, I can say loss changes you. It shifts how you see motherhood, yourself, and even joy. There's a kind of innocence in pregnancy before loss. You just assume everything will be okay. But once you've been through miscarriage or loss, every pregnancy after comes with a shadow of what if. And you learn how to hold both joy and fear at the same time. Even a decade later, I think of those babies. That love never leaves. It just grows quieter. It's an invisible grief that just lingers. It's woven into who you are. And I also see the compassion it's built within me for women walking through infertility, IVF, or quiet heartbreaks that they don't talk about out loud. Every time I post something about infant loss or miscarriage, I get flooded with DMs or text messages, and I welcome them. Your story matters, and I'm happy to listen. But the point is, we never really know what other people are carrying. Grief takes time. Hormones are real. And sometimes your heart needs longer than a doctor's timeline. There's no perfect pace or prescribed healing process. Looking back now, a decade later, I wish I could hug that version of me. I thought I had to hold it all together. But grief is a wild thing. It doesn't follow rules, but it somehow reshapes you. My youngest son was born at home, and that's a story for another episode. But I have to mention it here because it connects to loss. I had the confidence, the courage, and the trust in my body, in my immediate family, and my friend who's a doula, That's it, here at home, to bring him into the world with peace and strength. It was beautiful. That kind of confidence would have been unimaginable to the version of me who once felt so broken and so betrayed by her own body. But loss taught me something that I didn't expect. That even through pain, my body was still capable of healing, of holding life again, of redemption. Loss prepared me for courage, resilience, and a deeper presence in moments that truly matter. And I think one of the wildest things to consider is that without those losses, I wouldn't have my daughter or my son. I remember feeling such sadness and guilt. I even cried while I was carrying my daughter, thinking about the babies that I had lost. There's so many milestones that come up the day that you would have had them, the day that you found out that you're pregnant, and there are moments throughout the years that just you remember. Those anniversary dates of the losses. They've since gotten a lot easier. I mean, I don't even wear the birthstone rings that I had made of the babies that I lost anymore. And I say all this, and I truly don't regret anything about this journey. I see now the learning, the growth, and the divine timing in it all. My losses, as devastating as they were, they ultimately made me so much more grateful for the children that I do have. And I say that tenderly, knowing that many of you may still be having a hard time even getting pregnant. And I know how heartbreaking, confusing, and frustrating that can feel. So please know that I see you. I honor your grief. And your story matters. Whether your journey includes loss, waiting, or both. It's possible to grieve a baby you never held and still feel joy for the ones that you do. Loss can deepen gratitude, but it doesn't erase pain. And healing doesn't mean forgetting. There's no timeline for recovery. You can be fine one day and your heart aching the next. No one can truly prepare you for how grief lives quietly inside of you, or how those anniversaries and due dates and tiny reminders can hit you out of nowhere. And yet, we go on, stronger, softer, and more aware. If you're walking through loss, please know this: you are not alone. And if you're supporting someone who is, don't minimize their grief. Every loss is unique. Some people need space, others need to talk. Listen without judgment. Offer presence over advice. There's a quote that I love. It goes, "A mother is not defined by the number of children you can see, but by the love she holds in her heart." That love never leaves. It just changes form. Loss stripped away my innocence, but it deepened my compassion, my faith, and my trust in my own body. Every woman who's walked this road carries both pain and wisdom. Before I close, I want to talk about how common this really is. Nearly 1 in 4 pregnancies ends in a miscarriage, and 1 in 8 couples are facing infertility. That's millions of families every year experiencing loss, but few ever feel seen or supported. This silence keeps too many women isolated, and it's part of a larger problem in our medical system. These experiences also opened my eyes to how women are treated in the medical system, how often we're dismissed, rushed, or misdiagnosed. And not just in miscarriage, but in maternal care overall. The United States actually has one of the highest maternal mortality rates among developed nations. And it's getting worse, not better. Women's voices are being dismissed in birth, in loss, and in recovery. And we'll be unpacking some of this soon in my Unrule the World series. Because this conversation about listening to our bodies, trusting our intuition, and demanding better care is far from over. But for now, I just want to say, your intuition matters. If something feels off, it's okay to pause, ask questions, and seek another opinion. And remember, often miscarriage is not anyone's fault. It's just a biological reality sometimes. If you've walked through miscarriage, infant loss, or infertility, I see you. You are not alone. This month and every month, your story matters. I want to thank you for listening to my story. If this episode brought you comfort or clarity, I'd love for you to share it with another woman who needs to know they're not alone. Sometimes healing starts with a single story. And your share might be the moment someone else needs. Every share helps another woman feel seen, supported, and reminded that her story matters. And if you have experienced pregnancy or infant loss and you would like to connect with others who understand what you're going through, I'll include resources and support groups in the show notes for anyone needing connection. Be gentle with yourself. Your body, your story, and your heart are sacred. You're not broken. You're becoming. This is Mandy signing off. Until next time, stay rooted, be brave, and live wildly intentionally.